one of the most tragic and shocking moments in the American civil rights movement happened in September of 1963 in Birmingham, Alabama. A KKK bomb attack at an African-American church killed four girls, Addie Mae Collins, age 14, Carol Denise McNair, age 11, Carol Robertson, age 14, and Cynthia Wesley, age 14. That bombing was the latest in a string of bomb attacks targeting African-Americans in the heavily segregated city. Our next guest was there in Birmingham at the time as a white pastor of an African-American Lutheran congregation. He served in that community and later in Milwaukee at Cross Lutheran. He's devoted his life and work to reaching across lines of race, of religion, of economic status, and of citizenship. Joseph W. Ellwanger is a retired Evangelical Lutheran Church in America pastor. He's the author of the book Strength for the Struggle. He joins us now from our studio in Milwaukee. Reverend Ellwanger, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's good to be here.
Throughout your work and throughout your book, you're motivated by a concept called accompaniment ministry. You don't talk about doing work for people, but with them and walking alongside them. Why has that been such a guiding principle for you?
Well, that's the very opposite of the segregationist system and even, you know, some of the more white moderates in the South who would say that they were friendly and were not prejudiced against African Americans, but in fact they were very paternalistic, and they were really looking down upon African Americans, even as they said that they had nothing in the way of a racist attitude. And so accompaniment ministry means that you walk alongside of people, accepting people as equals, as people who have something to give to you as surely as you have something to give to them. And so it's all the difference in the world. And, you know, white folks may not recognize the difference in terms of relationships with blacks and whites, but blacks are very quick to pick up whether a white person is being paternalistic and looking down rather than accompanying them as equals.
And another theme you come back to again and again is the importance of reaching across religious lines to other Christian denominations and to other faiths, even in your career when that got you into trouble.
Yes, that's true. I belonged at the time to a segment of the Lutheran Church in the United States that was very rigid in saying that, you know, we were not supposed to be worshiping with people of another denomination. And this just didn't ring true. And I had my knuckles wrapped a couple of times because I did participate across denominational lines. And strangely enough, ironically enough, it was in the funeral service for three of the four girls killed in the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church, where I was asked by the father of one of those four girls, who happened to be a member of my congregation. He asked me and his wife, who is a member of 16th Street Baptist Church, they asked me to participate in the funeral service, and I had my bishop, in effect, that was not his title at the time, but in effect, he called me and asked me not to participate because that would be crossing denominational lines, and that was one of the points where I made it very clear to myself and to my bishop that I saw the gospel calling me to relate to anyone at any level and within the Christian church, certainly, to be willing to walk with them and to worship with them. So I did participate in that service for three of the four girls.
Talking to Reverend Joseph Ellwanger of Milwaukee. His book is called Strength for the Struggle, Insights from the Civil Rights Movement and Urban Ministry. Take us back to that day in 1963, September 15th, when KKK bombers blew up that Baptist church and murdered four girls. You were there in Birmingham, and as you were just saying, in the aftermath. Talk about what you saw and heard and felt there.
Well, I remember that very vividly to this day. It's one of those events that you don't forget. I was teaching an adult Bible class at the congregation that I pastored, which was about 16 blocks away from the 16th Street Baptist Church. But in the middle of our Bible class, we heard a loud boom, and it was so loud that everybody stopped in the middle of whatever we were talking about, and we were silent and for about 5 or 6 seconds, and then one of the women in the class said, "I hope that was not what I think it may have been, another bombing in Birmingham." So, you know, as African Americans in Birmingham at the time, where some 35 bombings had taken place of homes, of movement leaders, and people that the KKK thought were moving too fast, were so common that that's what this woman thought of that morning when they heard the a blast. And sure enough, about 8-9 minutes later, a young man came running into the church and looking for Chris McNair, who was the member of our congregation and Sunday school superintendent and the father of one of the four girls who was killed. And so that's when we learned that it was the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church. And it was an event that put the whole city of Birmingham on edge, you know, very tense. In the white community, it was a very large segment of the white community that saw the bombing as a kind of comeuppance to the black community for conducting the demonstrations that had gone on in the spring of 1963. This bombing was a retaliation against those demonstrations, because the KKK saw that, and many, many white moderates, Southerners, saw that those demonstrations as moving too fast, too far, even if the elimination of segregation was something good, which they didn't believe. But if even if it were, they said that this was not the way to do it, not the way to go about it. So this was the attitude of many whites in Birmingham at the time was, well, this was what they deserved, the black community deserved. Others recognized that, you know, bombing a church, any church on a Sunday morning, was really a horrible thing to do. And so their attitude, whites who would not go so far as to say that they deserved it, would have said, well, they didn't deserve it. It's a terrible event, but they should have expected it. You can't push the envelope as far as the demonstrations did in the spring of 63 in March and ask for the elimination of segregation and think you're going to not have any repercussions. In the black community, of course, it was basically a sense of, first of all, grief for the families with the four children. There was a lot of anger, obviously. But just a few people who really wanted to retaliate violence for violence. Basically, the black community was saying, this is a horrible deed, but let's not pull ourselves down to the level of the KKK. And so in the middle of all of that tension, to participate in that funeral service was an unforgettable experience, where the church was packed and 2,000 or 3,000 in the street who couldn't get in for the funeral. And the moans and the cries during the service, you know, Lord have mercy, and why, God, why? It was that kind of a tense moment in Birmingham.
Reverend Joseph Ellwanger of Milwaukee is with us. He's a retired pastor at the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, serving in Birmingham, Alabama in the civil rights era, and in Milwaukee at Cross Lutheran for over three decades. Reverend Ellwanger, I was born in 1970, so 7 years after the bombing we were just talking about, 2 years after the death of Martin Luther King Jr. And I think the way I was taught about civil rights history is that it was history. Things were bad. The civil rights movement happened. We're basically good now. And I think that's a pretty common attitude. What would you say to people who hold that attitude?
Well, that is a mixed bag, to be sure. Certainly, we have made some progress. And in the South, you can go south today with a mixed, racially mixed group and go into a restaurant and be served. And that is totally different from the way it was in the 1960s. And, of course, it's very important to recognize that what brought that change about was the Voting Rights Act of 1965 that the demonstrations in Selma were all about. And once the African Americans in the South actually got the vote and could even run for office, things changed. Even the white folks recognized that, and white elected leaders realized they had to get some of the black vote or they wouldn't be elected. So suddenly things did change, and we can be grateful for the dismantling of the de jure segregation, especially of public places in the South. But the reality is that there's been a lot of pushback since then, even in the North and throughout the country, pushback against, for instance, the Voting Rights Act, which made such a change in the South. And we have I believe that the voter ID laws and other practices in various states throughout the country are a pushback to make it difficult for people, and especially people of color, but it spills over and makes it difficult for others to vote as well, especially older people and students. That's a reminder to us that maybe the discrimination is not as overt today as it was in the 1960s. That's changed, but there's a lot of racism simmering underneath the surface that pops up constantly here and there, and especially in the recent elections and in some of the violence that the far right has used to try to push things back. So the justice challenge today is somewhat different, but it's very real.
In 1967, you moved north from Alabama to join us here in Wisconsin at Cross Lutheran in Milwaukee. What led you here?
People ask me that question. Believe me, when I left Birmingham, Alabama in 1967, there was a huge lump in my throat. I really loved the people, the congregation, and the challenge of the South, and I saw the changes beginning to take place, and I really had a tough time with the call to Cross Church. But in the Lutheran tradition, when a pastor is called by one congregation, the pastor has pretty much the decision to make. Is this God's call for me to leave this congregation now and go to this other, or do I stay? And so I was the one who had to really wrestle with this call. And the reason why I did finally decide to leave what was truly my love in Birmingham was the terms of the call that I got from Cross Church were that they wanted me to come to help them to reach out to the community, which when the congregation had been formed some 75 years before, it was all white and German and Jewish mainly. But now, 1967, African Americans had moved into the neighborhood to the point that the neighborhood was now 90% black. And the congregation said, we want you to come and help us reach into the community, and we will walk with you in doing that. And so I thought, well, in 1967, you know, we want this country to change. We want an integrated society, not a segregated society. And if any institution ought to be leading the way, I said to Cross Church and to myself, it ought to be the church. And so I came to see whether indeed we could lead Cross Church to become a racially integrated church, our congregation. They had just begun to accept a handful of African-American members. And so that was a good sign that they were serious about it. And so I came.
Talking to Reverend Joseph Ellwanger. His book is called Strength for the Struggle. One very concrete change. I love you. In a chapter of your book, you quote Psalms, sing to the Lord a new song. You had a very practical decision to make about whether there would be new songs sung at Cross Church.
I do remember the day that Gloria Wright came to me. She had been a member of Cross, then moved out to the suburbs. And when I came, they had just moved back into the community. And so she was thinking of coming back to the congregation. But she's asked me whether she could form a youth choir at Cross Church. And I thought, well, any pastor who would refuse an offer like that must have rocks in his head. So I said, oh, I'd be happy to have you form a youth choir. And she said, well, I have another question. And she said, can we sing any song that we want to sing? And I said, well, any song that that's all about the gospel and is furthering that word of forgiveness and reconciliation and all that goes with the gospel would be fine. So the youth choir was formed, and they, of course, began singing a variety of songs. And the congregation said, well, why can't we sing them? And I said, why not? So we developed an urban hymnal supplement. And what would you believe that 2 weeks from, well, 1 week from this Saturday, the Cross Youth Choir will be celebrating its 50th anniversary. It became a choir that really made a difference in our congregation, in the community, and in the Lutheran Church. So that was a more awesome beginning than I realized at the moment. But we definitely changed songs, and some people could enjoy that, and some couldn't. So we lost a few members over that, but we won a whole lot more.
Throughout your book, you highlight people who have inspired you throughout your work. Who do you look at, Reverend Ellwanger, who inspires you today?
My, oh my, there are many. And in my book, I raise up a lot of what most people would consider, quote, ordinary people. Because when you accompany people, it means that you really are open to their gifts. And so there are people who have enriched me beyond their own recognition and awareness. So I don't want to minimize or overlook those regular people who've had a real influence on me. And Gloria Wright, who came asking to form a youth choir, is a good example of someone who had the leadership skills and really did a great job and enriched me as we learned a lot of new songs. But if you look on a little higher level, certainly I would have to say that to this very day, Dr. King has an influence on me because he was an amazingly bold prophet is what I would have to call him. You know, the country sort of looks at him as a great orator and someone who definitely led the way in some changes in the South. But he showed really showed the church, and this goes across denominational lines, showed the church and the faith community, which goes across faith lines, that any living of the religious life has to have a connection with working on the injustices of the society, or else it's not authentic. And so it was Dr. King that showed me and showed hundreds and thousands of pastors and lay people that the gospel is all about working on justice for the whole community, not just for bringing people into the church.
Reverend Al Langer, thank you so much for joining us. That's Reverend Joseph Ellanger, retired Evangelical Lutheran Church in America pastor from Milwaukee. This is Central Time.